for tape, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2010 Midwinter Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. This is the Sunday afternoon, ladies, 1:15 p.m. deliverance and teaching meeting. Linda Henley, Rhonda Bryan, Ada Andrews, and Patty King are the speakers of the afternoon. The title of this message is Focus on Jesus for Your Deliverance.
We're going to do something a little different. There's a few of us that are going to share a few things with you ladies. Jesus came to set the captives free. And the Bible says, for this purpose was the Son of God manifested, to destroy the works of the evil one. God wants us to be free. In the Old Testament, He told the different tribes to go in and to possess, to take, and they said, we left none to remain. There were no enemies left to indwell, to be in their midst. Jesus has given us that kind of freedom, that kind of liberty. He didn't come just to set us kind of free, sort of free. He wants us totally free. And it's a process. It's a process. It doesn't happen overnight. We'd like it to happen overnight. We'd like to see it happen overnight in other people's lives. But if you can stay focused, keep the vision that you may not have all of the deliverance that you know you need, but know that if you stick with it, if you stay with it, if you stay with Him, He is going to bring you and myself to that place where we leave none to remain. None to remain. If your background is in witchcraft, if your background is in the occult, if your background is in sexual sin, if you've had a tremendous amount of problems with rejection, forgiveness, just know that if you keep on keeping on, if you keep on submitting yourself, surrendering yourself to Jesus, that there is a place in Him. He did not die that we can just be partially free. He wants us 100%, 100%. And I believe that it's available. I believe for that. I've asked a few of our ladies here to share a few things about how Jesus has set them free. And we're going to do that today, and then we're just going to see what the Holy Spirit wants to do. You know, most of us are not comfortable up here behind the microphone. Myself is included in that number. However, there are things that we have to do. You know, Richard, I don't disagree with him, what he said this morning. In fact, I affirm everything that he said. However, there are things that we don't want to do that we have to do. We do. I was telling Rhonda, you know, Lauren and Tucker, her two little ones, they don't necessarily want to get up every morning and go to school, but they have to get up and go to school every morning. I don't necessarily want to get up and come to work every morning, but I have to come to work. There are things that we have to do, and sometimes there's a bigger picture. There's blessings in doing things that we don't want to do. So what we're going to do today, none of us really want to do it. But you know what? God did everything for us. He gave us Jesus, and He has deposited His life in us. He has done things in our lives. He has brought changes in our lives. And that's what it's all about. I'm going to just share a few things first off. There's a lot of things that the Lord has set me free from and is setting me free from. But as I was thinking or asking the Lord just how to present what my little part is today, I think if I was to share what has been most meaningful in my life, is that I feel like God, not only through salvation, but a lot through deliverance, has made me feel normal. Now you laugh. But I was one who was very bound in my relationships, in my emotions. I've always been happy-go-lucky, but as far as feeling affection and feeling tenderness and feeling like I was a person that was loving and vice versa, feeling that I was loved. I know my parents loved me. I mean, I know that in my head. But there was things in me that made me feel like I didn't have any feeling, frozen emotions. And the Bible talks about affections. And there's a couple of scriptures that bear out what I'm trying to say. One of them is in Romans chapter 1, verse 31. And I'm not going to read the verse, but there's a section in there that says, without natural affection. And that word means hard-hearted towards kindred. And in the lexicon, it means without family love. Now, don't misunderstand me. We were a solid family, I guess you might say, and we did things together. But there was always that feeling in me that I wasn't normal. I didn't feel like I had a close relationship with my sisters and my brother. It wasn't anything that they did. It was this feeling that I had. And then there's another scripture in Romans chapter 12, verse 10, and it says there, be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love. Now that affection there means cherishing one's kindred, especially parents or children, fond of natural relatives, fraternal towards fellow Christians. Now, we used to sing that song. I used to sing it when I was first saved. You know, I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. And it just was a song. It just was a song. But now, as God has begun and done a work, and I'm not saying, don't misunderstand me. I don't love any of you like God wants me to love you. But I've come for peace. And I'm a lot better than I used to be. And my husband, you know, when I first got saved, some of you have heard this, after the first year of being saved, I got filled with the Holy Spirit and baptized in water. And within that first year, was introduced to Lake Hamilton Bible Camp and also introduced to the man that God had chosen for me to be his helpmate. Now, I had just gotten saved, and I knew what a mess I was. I mean, nobody had to tell me that. And I wasn't anywhere, shape, or form looking to get married. In fact, I didn't know that I would ever be married. You know, really, honestly, I just didn't have, there just wasn't that, I just didn't have it. You know, there just wasn't anything there that, like I said, that affection was not there. It was just dead. But God had a different plan. God had a different plan. And I'm here today to tell you that not only through deliverance, not only through casting out of devils, and there's been many cast out and there will be many more, because I can't yet say that I've got none remaining. But God chose to bring a measure of deliverance through my husband in the realm of affection by Kevin's love, by God's love in Kevin, and by Kevin's natural affection. Kevin is a very kind man. He's a very affectionate man. He's not afraid to show his affection, and that's good. You know, that was something that, you know, he needed some place for his affection to go, and I was the vessel that was there to receive. And God has done a tremendous amount of deliverance through him and through the love that he has for as a husband for me, his wife, and with casting out of devils. But the affections have gradually, and it's not something that's happened overnight, but it's just gradual, and the affections have become more natural. They've become more normal. My relationship with my siblings is much, much closer now. And, you know, you can say, yeah, they mellow with age and, you know, all that stuff. But no, it's more than that. It's a relationship where I sincerely care about their well-being. I sincerely want God's best for them. I feel these things that I never felt before. And that in turn then has brought another dimension to feeling compassion and sensitivity for the body of Christ and for hurting people. And I'm thankful. I'm not as normal as I'm sure God has intended for me to be, but I feel like I'm a lot more normal than I used to be. And you may dispute that issue, but it doesn't matter, because I know now, more than I've ever known in my entire life, that God loves me. And nobody can take that away from me. Nobody can take that away from me. All right? Rhonda. This is Rhonda Bryan. Rhonda is a wonderful helper in the office. She's a wonderful prayer warrior on the telephone.
She's the one that's talking about that. They want to get up here.
And God has brought a tremendous amount of change. I know that he brought a lot of change into her life when she was under Donna and Ada's pastorate, but I have seen a tremendous... In fact, I was telling her this morning, I've seen so much that God has done in your life, and she says, would you please make a list so I can talk about it?
Okay. Patty reminded me, too, that this morning that I told something that... I told her that when I was in high school, I couldn't learn. And it was true. I had a terrible time in high school. I copied my way through most of it. But God has set me free from that, and I'm able to learn now. So that's really neat. It's really a blessing, really. Because it's like you just supernaturally can understand it in a way, really. And it's really neat. Can I be done? A lot of people, I guess, I feel like a lot of people really don't know me. I've been here for about 5 years. Almost, not quite. I went through a terrible divorce. I had a rough marriage. A lot of it was my own fault, but a lot of it wasn't. I have two beautiful children. And, you know, at first, you know, I never really wanted children at first. And I think this has been the best year of our relationship ever. And it's been I wouldn't say a horrible year, but it's been a hard year. I've went through sicknesses. I've went through spider bites. I've been through a lot. But mine and my children's relationship has been wonderful. We have become so close. My daughter is learning to cook. She loves to take care of the house. And I never knew that. But when I stepped out of the way and couldn't do it, I learned that about her. And that was neat, because now she can help me, and I can let her help me. And my son, he's quite the character. He loves to make noise, and he's very good at it. But he's such a blessing, because he keeps us smiling and laughing, and he's learning to cook and do things around the house, and he loves sports, so... I'm sure someday he wants to play football. I tell him he needs to be the announcer because he's so timey. But we'll see what God has planned for him. One thing that I have learned, though, over the years is God is really my provider. He has provided so many things. He's taken care of me tremendously. I have, before I moved out here, Sammy and Ralph, that's Ada's son and daughter-in-law, they had bought a new home, and I was somewhat jealous of that, and I thought, you know, I'll never have a new home because it's just me. You know, I don't have a husband, I don't have anybody to do that for me. But I want to tell you something. I had a house built from ground up. I picked everything out. I mean, it was a $110,000 home. God did that. But He did that to show me that He could do that. And I didn't live in it. I chose to come out here instead. But He did that to show me He can. He's provided a van for me and my children this year. It's not new, but it's only 2 years old. We're not hurting as far as like money or anything. We're placed to live. We're provided for everything. You know, even down to my children's clothes. You know, I don't have to buy a lot of their clothing. It's there when they need it. A lot of times it's just there. And, you know, sometimes I do. And it's fun when I get to. But a lot of times they're there. Try not to be nervous. This is deliverance for me. Because I don't like being up here. But, you know, I am of a creative mind. I like to create. And He's showing me new ways I can do that. That's been fun. You know, a lot of people, I don't know, you guys probably watch movies too, but I like watching movies. And God can speak through them. Because there was a little show, I don't know, have y'all ever watched Anne of Green Gables? Well, the part where Anne and Gilbert are fighting because Gilbert wants him to or her to marry him, and she's saying no. Well, he's mad at her, and he was very harsh with her. And there was a time I was sitting there, and God showed me, you know, my husband was hurting, and a lot of the things that he spoke and did was out of hurt because, you know, whether it was from background things in his family, he went through a lot through his family. And then here I was, you know, leaving, and he was hurt and angry. And that helped me to forgive him in so many ways. So that, I've been into the Little House on the Prairie movies recently, but one thing that stood out to me was this man. He was a very large man, and everybody in the town made fun of him. But there was a blind school there. And the children loved him. They could not judge him by his outward appearance because they couldn't see him. They had to go heard and felt and, you know, who he really was on the inside, not who they saw on the outside. And that stood out to me, too. It's been a tough year, but a good year. Learning how to be a wife, even though I'm not married. God has shown me, you know, ways to be what I'm supposed to do and how I'm supposed to raise my children. I can see a change. Fun. It is fun. I know we got 15 minutes, but I don't know what else to say. Well, it's just a thought. I haven't exactly looked it up or anything, but I was telling Patty that forgiveness was, you know, when God forgave, it says it was from the east to the west. It's not there, no more. It's gone. He doesn't remember. So I asked Patty, it said, so when we forgive, that means we forget it. It's gone. It's not there anymore. And I said, but then how do you do your testimony? Because that's, you know, that's part of your testimony. So I haven't got that figured out yet, but. But, you know, on the other hand, I forgave my ex-husband, you know, for the things he did for me, to me. I remember them, but they don't hurt, you know. It don't hurt me anymore. And I'm able to be civil with him. He used to, you know, call and talk to the old Rhonda, he thought, but when I didn't react the same way, he had nothing to fight against. And so that is forgiveness, when you can actually say, there's nothing there. You know, I would love to see you come into the kingdom, you know, to serve the Lord. So I'm working on that. To see what's going with that, you know. But, yeah. You didn't write my list, obviously.
you know, she was sharing that about forgiveness this morning, and she still has to deal, you know, Arthur is, the children's father will be their father forever, and they're with him now. And there are situations that continue to come up that are clearly unnecessary. Thank you. That's a very good way to put it. But Rhonda doesn't rise up anymore. She doesn't rise up. She doesn't allow it place in her. The Bible says, give no place to the enemy. She doesn't allow it. Linda has shared in the past on taking offense and on the word offense, and she'll tell you, she'll say, don't let it offend you in the beginning. Don't take it as an offense, and then you don't have to deal with all the crud that comes with it, with all the baggage that the enemy wants to dump on you. And Rhonda is constantly, I mean, there are things that come up in that past relationship with the children. And she just is, she's honed in on staying free from getting entangled, because it's an entanglement and it brings a whole nest of foes with it. And pretty soon you're consumed by it and you're back into it again if you allow yourself. And so she thought of something to say.
You know, a lot of times people have a tendency to control you, but really it's, do you allow those people to control you? And I was not a very strong person, and so I allowed a lot of people to control me in my life. And, you know, even now God is bringing me out of that, where He's making me stand on my own. He's making me, and it's not easy. But I'm learning things about myself I never knew. So it's fun. I'm telling you, it's fun. It's fun. So that's
it. I'm done. That's good. All right. Ada? This is Ada Andrews. And most of you have already met Ada, not only in the morning prayer meeting, but she works, wiping tables. She's the one that, bless her heart, keeps everything so nice and pretty and clean. And she's got the gift of hospitality. She's also our little shutterbug. She's taken all the pictures, and if you see her snapping your photo, just smile. You may see it on the board back there next time. But Ada's going to share a little bit.
When Patty asked me to share, I'm sure we all do this, you know. It's like, okay, what is it? What is it? You know, what would be a good thing? And so I went home last night, and I was thinking about it, and she was saying, I'll share, you know, something that's real. And all my deliverance have been real, deep. So I didn't know which one. And so I went to sleep thinking of one and woke up with something else. And when it came to me, it touched me real deeply inside, so I knew that this was the one to share. And I know it's hard to understand that all deliverances could be called something very special, because they're not fun, and they're not, but the deliverance and coming out of it and the change of it is wonderful. And this one particular companion, I call him a companion because I had it for most of all my life. I grew up receiving it from my mother, and my mother received it from her mother, and I don't know how far back it went, but it, you know, passed down that way as I learned about deliverance. And it was the spirit, is the Jezebel spirit. And you may not think me, but yes, I had a very strong Jezebel spirit, and I learned that because when I grew up in my home, my father, my mother was so strong that my father did his best. But my mother had a lot of issues. When she grew up, she didn't have a father, and so her mother was the father and the mother. So that was installed in her. And so when we grew up, that's what I saw in my house, was my mother controlling everything. She did all the finances and all the decisions, and a lot of them weren't very good because they were out of issues in her that were not made well in her. And so the fruit of it came inside me, and I began to do that in my growing up because I had seen it, and it had the doors had opened when I was young to it. Grew up having, around my teenage years, I had to survive for myself, I thought then, because I didn't have a father. He passed away when I was 12. And so my mother was around part-time. And so I had to take care of myself, so I was in control of myself. And so there was another controlling spirit that entered in. And then when I met my husband, all I knew was how to be like my mom taught me. So we got married, and I, put on the man's shoes and the man's jacket, and I was the man of the house. And I enabled him in many ways for the position as far as being the priest of our home, because I was very strong at it and was very good at it. I was very, Jezebel has a lot of ways of getting her way. She's very clever. So my husband stood in the back, and Jezebel made a very big mess out of our relationship. It was just my husband's patience and love for me that held on to our relationship and made it work for where I was at that time. Then we had two children. When they came in, I was still with Jezebel. Our Jezebel is still with me, and my children suffered very much from it. I wanted them to be perfect. I wanted my house to be perfect. I wanted things to be peaceful. So I remember working real hard at trying to make everything calm around the house. I control. Jezebel has a way of setting things up so that, things can go the way she wants it to go. And so my children suffered from that, and our finances suffered. The call on my husband's life and ours suffered. Jezebel just really had a field day in our home. Well, when it was time for me to confront this spirit, the Lord brought it to my attention, and I was told about Jezebel, and it was time because I saw it. And when I saw it, it was real painful to me, very painful, because it was as if the Lord opened up all that had happened and what she had done to my family, all the hurt. And I think it was about a week I couldn't stop crying because of how I'd seen, how I'd injured, and it's still a very touchy spot, and God has healed it, and I'm rejoicing. But when I think back about it, how Jezebel, she's a destroyer. And I didn't know what to do about it. I was overwhelmed because it was true. It was made true that I had done all that with Jezebel, and I couldn't change it. And so that moment, I was just, for the whole week, I was crying out to the Lord. And I was thinking about what Patty was saying earlier, the thing that can really make us come through this is to be open. You can go as fast as you want, as open as you are. It doesn't have to take a long time. It really doesn't. If you're open, you can make leaps and bounds, and you can go places, but you have to be open. Well, it's not an easy being open, but it was the truth, and everything was a mess, our finances, our everything, and I just told the Lord, I don't know what to do to make this right. Well, I don't really know exactly how many days, but it was a few, not very long. I got a newsletter from Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in the mail. And a friend of ours from California mentioned about coming out here, and I told my husband that I wanted to come, and it was a women's meeting, and I wasn't too sure I really wanted to come because I had a lot of other things to be delivered from, fear and a few other things, and I didn't know if I wanted to drive out here by myself. My husband said, well, why don't you take, you know, our daughter with you, so I brought her, and I had come to a place where I was totally dead. I was dead spiritually. I don't even know if I was really alive ever spiritually. But I was dead, and for the little bit that I had. And when I came in here, we made our way. I met Brother Dr. Noel right over there. And God showed him, you know, the spirit of death on me. And he prayed for the spirit of death that came off me. And I was like, well, that was different, because I couldn't even see that on myself. But I could feel it then, that there was something happening to me. And that night we went to sleep upstairs, my daughter and I. And they had made an announcement here saying, now, if, you know, don't worry if, you know, you have trouble at night. Don't worry if there's anything that, you know, happens abnormal. And I didn't think that there would be. I probably couldn't even really hear a whole lot. Except I remember a little bit when we went to bed, my daughter and I, and we slept in the same bed. And during the night, I was just going through a lot of jerking. And like, what is that? And my daughter goes, Mom, because it was more than one. She goes, are you all right? I said, yeah, I don't know. What's that? And she said, oh, so I went back to sleep and there was another jerking. I mean, literally, and we were both sleeping in the same bed. And I look back at it now and, you know, it was Jezebel. It was a spirit. And so my daughter, oh, I just love her. She said, well, let me lean up against you, Mom, so that, you know, if I embrace you, maybe you won't jerk so hard to keep you awake. So she kind of like, I was laying like this, and she was behind me. And I still jerked, but she stayed with me through the night. And we made it here in the morning. And all I knew is I didn't know how the morning prayer was going to be. But Dr. Noel came up to me and asked me, what would you like for the Lord to do for you? And all I had was that one thing, and I knew it was Jezebel. And he prayed for me. And out of all the deliverances that I had, I believe the stronghold on Jezebel was broken that morning. I know it was. And when that happened, I was just so free. And I went home. I felt like I'd come out of something. And I went home, and my husband, I didn't even have to say anything to him. He had seen that there was something different. And God set me free from that. But I do want to mention one thing, and it's a wonderful thing that he did that, because after that, he began to restore my marriage. He allowed my children to be able to move forward in the Lord without me working so hard at trying to make them. He allowed my husband to feel freely to love me and tell me he loved me without me trying to make him love me. And I found out recently something that is just so wonderful. And Brother John this morning, yesterday evening, was sharing a little bit that opened it up even more to me. And that was, you know, God wants us to be able to experience His Spirit and tell us about where He's going and what He's doing. When we have Jezebel, it's very almost impossible to experience the Spirit of the Lord, because Jezebel can't go the way he's going. The Holy Spirit cannot have her there. We will miss out in seeing His Spirit move. And I have been able to enter into that these last year. It's the most wonderful thing to see the Holy Spirit move and know exactly what is needed in His people for them to be free. And I'm thankful that He is bringing me into that and brought me more into it. And there's just not enough words to express it. God has a plan, and He can do it if we're open.
That's very true, very true. Jezebel not only wants to control everything in her environment, but she wants to control God. And that was a real breakthrough, wasn't it? That's very true, very true. It behooves us all to want to be freer and freer and freer. There's I'm not selling anything here.
But Mitzi Burton, about 4 or 5 years ago, was one of the speakers at our ladies' conference. And she had two services. The first service, she taught on the attributes, the profile, the nature, everything that she has studied on Jezebel. And then the second service, she didn't teach at all. She simply went right into deliverance, and the entire service was a deliverance service from the spirit of Jezebel. And dare to say, I think just about everybody in this room received some deliverance. And if you think for 1 minute that you're totally free from that, that thing is already operating again. Okay? Ada said, stay open. Be open. Allow the Lord to continue the work. Because there is a place of freedom where we can be free. Free, free, free. And all of it just... That's right. Linda Henley, our friend Linda Henley, another one of our workers here, helpers here. Linda's been coming here for nigh on to 30 years, I think, off and on. And now she's, Glenn gave her a home and told her that never mind, I won't tell him what he told you, but anyway.
Yeah, you want to forget that part, don't you?
But anyway, Linda's received a lot from the Lord. She shares a lot from the Lord, and she's thankfully going to be willing today to...
Now, why I can get up there and sing, I don't have a clue. But, boy, this if I was just kind of sitting talking to you, most of you know I can sit there and talk to you pretty well, but getting up here and looking all at your faces at the same time is kind of scary. So smile, if you would. my life is kind of colorful, And a lot of it I'm going to spare you. But cause I wasn't saved till I was in my middle 30s. I got saved a whole lot of times. I was Baptist, and I used to get saved. Every time I got scared, I got saved. But never, about Friday night, it was over. And I'd go to the bar or go, you know, get me a pack of cigarettes and forget that for this time. You know, and get saved again the next time. You know, I know that messes with some of your theology, but I was serious when I was doing it. I believed that I was saved, and it never worked. I'm losing my voice. I need some more. Not a good sign, is it? No. So, not too awful long after I was saved, I came here. And one of the first things that I heard, and this is, now I'm getting bad. Be aware of what I'm saying. I'm not saying that what I was taught was wrong. What I'm going to tell you is what I heard was wrong. It was a scripture in Deuteronomy. And see, I knew there was something different about me. There was something wrong with me. I never fit in, no matter how much I went to church, no matter what I did, I never fit. It was like I was always on the outside looking in. Okay? I had sex spirits. Okay? Y'all might not believe this, but men used to chase me around. I'm 66 years old, they kind of quit that. But I had an issue with that from the time I was 11 years old. Okay? I remember when I was 11. I lived in a place in Maryland, and I had the man next door, I had my stepfather, and the man across the road, and the man two doors up, all at the same time. They all lived around me, and they were all, God spared me. He supernaturally kept anything from really happening. But I didn't understand what was going on. I didn't understand why this was the case. On the one hand, I felt rejected and left out and not a part of something. On the other hand, I was very desirable, you know, and I didn't get it. I just didn't get it. I heard the scripture here, okay? Pay attention to what I'm saying. A bastard shall not enter the congregation of the Lord, even to his tenth generation shall he not enter into the congregation. An Ammonite or Moabite shall not enter the congregation of the Lord, even to the tenth generation shall they not enter. I went home with that scripture saying, that's it. I'm a bastard. I was illegitimate. I never knew my father. It's my understanding in the last few years I found out that it was basically date rape. But I never had a whole lot of use for God because he was the father image to me. So I see this and I say, well, God said it. He says, I'm not, you know. So I, no matter what I did, I just said, that's what the word says, 10 generations. It's hopeless. For me, it was hopeless. Now, that's what I thought. That's how the devil lies to you. You hear about curses or you hear about things, you know, and you grab a hold of them and you forget, but that's not all there is to it. So I really got saved in my 30s, but I could never get the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I had people pray for me all the time, and I thought, you know, I realized I was riding, I'd be riding down the road, and I'd be going, she called out of a sun, and the whole time saying, you're not really talking in tongues, you're just making all that up. And I believed it. I believed that too. Okay, you're just making it up. You're just pretending you want to talk in tongues, you want to think you've got it. And so, you're pretending. I went on for years. You can't get anything, you know. You're really second class citizen. And so I wanted God really bad. And so at one period in time in my life, I was probably as depressed as you could get without medication. I used to do all the right things. I would get my family up, get them out in the morning. I had kids in school. I'd get my husband off to work. I was married at the time. And then I would close the door, lock it, lay on the floor and cry. Cry to God. God help me. God help me. God help me. God help me. And I can't tell you how long that I don't know what to do with this. I don't know how long that I cried out to God and cried out to him. I was reading in the Word one time, and that's Isaiah 56, and not my Bible today. And I read, "Blessed, thus saith the Lord, keep the judgment, do justice, for my salvation is near to come, my righteousness to be revealed. Blessed is the man that doeth this, and the son of man that layeth hold on it, that keepeth the Sabbath from polluting it, keepeth his hand from doing evil." Then it said, "Neither let the son of the stranger that hath joined himself to the Lord speak, saying, the Lord hath utterly separated me from his people. Neither let the eunuch say, behold, I am a dry tree, for thus saith the Lord unto the eunuchs, to keep my Sabbath and choose the things that please me and take hold of my covenant. Even to them will I give in mine house and within my walls a place and a name better than that of sons and of daughters, and I'll give them an everlasting name that shall not be cut off." Verse 6. "Also the sons of the stranger that join themselves to the Lord to serve him and to love the name of the Lord and to be his servant, every one that keepeth Sabbath from polluting, take hold of my covenant, even them will I bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings, their sacrifices shall be accepted. My house shall be called a house of prayer for all people." So I thought, hey, that sounds like I've got hope. Now, I'm sure I had heard scripture before that told me, you know, that I had hope. But it was like God had to show it to me. I was always had to learn things the hard way. So I said, okay, I need a proof. I need a proof scripture. You know, I don't know how why God puts up with me sometimes, but I needed something else. So get me to Ruth. First chapter of Ruth. And it talks about, and I don't need to read Ruth a whole lot, but Ruth was a Moabitess. She was a Moabitess. Now, Lot
children by his daughter. One of them was Moab. And so they were people unaccepted in God's order. They weren't one of God's people. And so I'm thinking, okay, she's a Moabitess. But you know who Ruth ended up being? She was in the genealogy of Jesus. She was in the genealogy. And I can go through the whole thing, and I'm not going to. But 5. And this was, it says, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. And God spoke that to me, actually through, I've got it dated in my other Bible, through Dr. Knoll, a lot of years ago. And God ordained my birth. God chose me. I am the righteousness of God in Christ. I am. He's made me righteous. He's made me holy. He's changed my life is what he's done. He's changed my life. And so then the next thing after all that was that I had to repent. I had to repent because I had believed that curse to be stronger than the blood of Jesus. Okay? I had forgotten, you know, I had just ignored the fact that Jesus paid the price. He said it's finished. He did everything there was to do to buy my salvation. And so I can't tell you that I'm all 100% delivered from all the rejection, because I'm not. I still battle. The enemy still comes, and he still tells me that you're not really a part of, you don't really belong. He still tells me that. And it's up to me what I do with it. You know, I know what the Word says. And the more you study the Word, I think it's more than just reading. We read the Word, we hear the Word all the time. We've heard enough Word here that we ought to have it together. I mean, we should have it together. We don't. We all know we don't. And so I think it takes relationship, real relationship. Time with. If you're going to get to know somebody before you marry them, you spend time with them. You talk to them. You listen to them. You just hang out with them. You know, you find out what pleases them and you do it. You know, that's how you have relationship with people. That's how you love people. And so I learned, and I need to clean it. I learned that I can do that. I can have a communication. It's like I can sit in my chair all by myself and know that God's with me. And that's worth, that tells me, that solved the God doesn't love me problem. And I'll tell you what happened a couple years ago. I'm going way too long, but couple years ago, I had a back problem during a woman's meeting here. And I ended up not being able to work. I sat up in my chair. A couple of you come up to visit me. But I was such, those of you who know me are not surprised at this, but I sat in that chair and I said, okay, Lord, if you think I'm going to sit here and read scripture all day and pray all the time when I should be down there working, you're wrong. I'm not going to. But I'm not going to act spiritual. I'm not going to act religious. But if you want to talk to me, if you want to come visit with me, that'd be good. That'd be good. Change my life. Change my life. He came. You know, he came. And he just made himself real to me. And that was 2 years ago, I believe. And it's changed not only how I see him, but it's changed how I see myself. And it's made me, I went for years, Patty will tell you, I would never say I was happy. Happy, you don't have to be happy. You can be content, but happy is something that
You know, that's a word that really isn't in the Bible. It's just, you know, it says happy does not mean happy. I looked it up. You know, I looked it up in the original, and it does not mean happy. And so Patty was happy, and I said, she's an exception. There's just not that many happy people. Her and Kevin were happy. But I'm going to tell you, in the last 2 years, I've been able to say I've been happy. Because I know God loves me. And it has. It's changed my life. But it started with... I don't know where it started. I don't know where it started. But I just know that God's just been faithful. As when I'm faithful, He's faithful. He's faithful even when I'm not. And He meets me even when I'm being a bullhead and I'm being a smart aleck and I'm being, you know, I'm not being nice. He still loves me like that. He loves me just like I am. He loves me just like I am. And sometimes people do, and sometimes people don't. But what my goal is to please Him. And so that's probably the only reason I'm up here today. And right now I'm going to quit and let Patty have this back. I would encourage you, number one, to hear the whole picture. Hear it. Don't just listen and know what. Just know that. We hear a lot about curses. We hear a lot about generational stuff. We hear a lot about it, but we got to know that that's not the end. You know, that we can be free, and it doesn't have to be 100 years from now. It can be. It may be, and you may have to work. You know, work it out. I'm still working it out. We're all still working it out here. We probably not as much as we ought to be, but we are. We still pray for each other. We still need deliverance. We all still need deliverance. I'm not going to tell you, but I could tell you, you know, some things that God just still needs to do in me. And each time, He does. He meets us where we are. We say it. We don't even have to be in all these meetings. I can go out, in and out, in and out, in and out, and come in when you're praying, and I can get as much deliverance as anybody else can. If I'm open, if God, you know, if it's something God's dealing with. And so I love Him. And so I want y'all to love Him and be blessed like I am.
Yeah, but Carla says that she's not really asleep, that she's hearing everything. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. Amen. Linda wants to know if you have any questions. We have a question. Just keep on. Get in every service. We're going to pray. When I first came, when Kevin and I first came together, you know, he said, I could lay hands on you, and you were so full of demons that anything would manifest. You know, it's a process. It's a process. But God wants you free. You know what? Jesus is the one that will set you free. Jesus is the one. Now, I'm not saying that to be religious. God uses people. He uses ministries. But your focus, your cry is to Jesus. Jesus said, "Whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be delivered." If you're calling on Jesus, if you're crying out to Jesus and saying, "God, I don't care how you do it. I don't care when you do it. I don't care who you use or who you don't use to do it. I ask you to deliver me and deliver me," and cry out to Him. Cry out to Him. Forget about who's praying for you. Forget about who spoke on the CD. Forget about what book you read. Look unto Jesus. Look unto Jesus. Because, honey, you may go to the bathroom back there, and you may be emptying your bladder, and God might just come right then and there and do a work in you without anybody laying hands on you. He loves you. You belong to Him. If Jesus didn't die for anybody else, He died for you, and He knows everything that you've been through. He knows everything you've been involved with. He knows every hurt that's buried in your heart. He knows every betrayal that man has done to you. He knows everyone that was supposed to have protected you that didn't. He's aware of that. He's on your side. But you can't tell Him how to do it. I can't tell Him how to do it. He's going to do it. Praise you, Jesus. I don't know what to do. Holy Ghost, you know what to do. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Let's just praise the Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Lord, this is your time. This is your meeting. These are your women. These are your children. Lord, you've brought us together. Lord, we submit to you right now. We ask you, Holy Spirit, to come. We trust you with our lives. We trust you, Lord. Holy andalabakos andalabakoria sita labakai. Sita labarosonda labakati andalabakai. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Holy andalabakos andalabakoria sita labakai. Father, we come. We present ourselves to you, Lord. You are our deliverer. You know what we have need of. Lord, I pray. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Cleanse us, Lord. Cleanse us in your blood today, Lord Jesus. Cleanse us, Lord, afresh and anew today, Lord Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Let your blood flow down over us, Lord Jesus. Let your blood flow down over us today, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. We thank you for your blood, Lord. We thank you for your blood, Lord Jesus. We thank you for your blood, Jesus, that brings redemption. It brings reconciliation, Lord. It brings healing, Lord Jesus. We praise you, Lord. We praise you, Lord. It brings redemption from curses, Lord Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Lord, I lift up each lady in this room. I lift up each individual in this room today, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Lord, you know where each one of us has come from. You know the bloodlines. But Lord, your blood is what we have now. Your blood is what has given us the provision that has really caused us to be the family of God. And Lord, I pray for a cleansing in each of our bloodlines today, Lord Jesus, a cleansing to come in our bloodlines today, Lord Jesus, that you would purge. Lord, you said you would cleanse. You said you would cleanse our blood that has not been cleansed. We present the blood of our bloodlines before you on the altar today, God. And I pray for a cleansing to come into each of our bloodlines. Lord, there are those in here like Linda who don't even know their father. There are those of us, Lord Jesus, who have familiar spirits coming through our family lines that we are the way we are because that's the way we were raised to be. Lord, we have bloodlines that are saturated with disobedience to your word. We have bloodlines, Lord Jesus, that are filled with disease and sickness and infirmity. We have bloodlines, Lord Jesus, that have submitted, that have followed after other gods. We have bloodlines, Lord God, that are full of sexual sins, that are full of incest, that are full of bestiality, that are full of oral sex, that are full of sodomy. We have bloodlines, Lord Jesus, that are just ravaged by the occult. But Jesus, your blood, Lord Jesus, cleanses these bloodlines. We ask for forgiveness, not only for our own sins, but for those of our forefathers today, Father God. And we stand together in agreement, and we break the curse. We break the curse of incest coming down through the bloodlines today. We break the curse of incest coming down on both sides of our families back generation upon generation upon generation. We break the curse of incest. We break it. We sever it. We cut ourselves loose from it in the name of Jesus. I command every spirit of incest, every spirit of incest to come out of us, every spirit of unnatural, inordinate affection to come out in the name of Jesus. I command the spirits of incest, I command the spirit of incest, the strong man of incest to be broken over each and every individual in this room today. In Jesus' name, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, spirits of unnatural affection, inordinate affection, come out in Jesus' name. Loose these women and let them go in the name of Jesus. Loose them and let them go in the name of Jesus. Loose them and let them go in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name, sex with brothers, sex with sisters, sex with animals, in the name of Jesus, come out. Come out. Bestiality, come out in the name of Jesus. Come out in the name of Jesus. Loose them and let them go. Loose them and let them go. I command the spirits of masturbation to come out of these ladies. In Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. I command oral sex spirits to come out. In Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. I bind you. I break your authority and your dominion over them. In the name of Jesus. You secret sins. You secret sins. I put the light of the Holy Spirit upon us. In Jesus' name. That these secret sins would be exposed and could come forth, and we would see, Lord, there are sins in our lives that we're not even aware of. Help us, Lord Jesus, to see the things in our lives that are displeasing to you, that the enemy has blinded us to, that the enemy has kept hidden from us. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, I break the curse of the occult. In Jesus' name, I break the curse of the occult over these bloodlines today. In the name of Jesus, you familiar spirits of the occult, come out of them. In Jesus' name, every familiar spirit of curiosity with the occult, curiosity of supernatural that is not of God. In the name of Jesus, I come against those curious spirits. In Jesus' name, loose these ladies and let them go in Jesus' name, in the name of Jesus. Come out in Jesus' name. Come out, you spirit of the occult. Come out, you spirit of the witch. Come out, you spirit of the witch, in the name of Jesus. Come out, you spirit of the witch, in the name of Jesus. I bind the spirit of the witch. I bind the spirit of the witch in the name of Jesus, and I command you to loose her and let her go. Loose her and let her go in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, loose her and let her go. I break the familiar spirit of the witch coming down through her bloodline in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Come out. Come out. Come out in Jesus' name. I break the covenant that she's made with witchcraft. I break the covenant that she has made with the occult in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus, loose her and let her go. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Loose her and let her go in Jesus' name. Come out, spirits of the occult. Come out in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. We bind you. We bind you in the name of Jesus. We bind the spirit of divination in Jesus' name. Witchcraft control. Witchcraft mind control. I bind you. Wanting to control your family. Wanting to control others. Witchcraft mind control. Wanting to control God. Spirit of Jezebel, come out of us in the name of Jesus. We break the curse of Jezebel coming down through the bloodline in the name of Jesus. Loose us and let us go in Jesus' name. Telling God how we're going to do things. Telling God what the way things are going to be. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, I bind the spirit of stubbornness. I bind the spirit of stubbornness in these ladies. I bind it in myself. In Jesus' name, I bind you in Jesus' name. I break the authority and dominion of stubbornness in our lives. In Jesus' name, we're going to do it our way. In Jesus' name, I bind that spirit of stubbornness in Jesus' name. I bind you in the name of Jesus. I bind you in the name of Jesus. Hard-hearted, rock-hard, stubborn, mulish, I bind you, pig-headed, bind you in the name of Jesus. I bind you in the name of Jesus. I command you to go. Loose these ladies and let them go. In Jesus' name.
in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, I come against the spirits that have entered into the bones, osteoporosis, osteomyelitis, coming from stubbornness. I bind you in the name of Jesus. I command you to come out of their bones. Come out of their bones, all brittle bones. Come out. Come out in Jesus' name. Loose them and let them go in the name of Jesus. I break the curse of osteoporosis coming down through the bloodline in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus, rooted in stubbornness, come out in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus, self-will, I bind you. Satan said, I will be as God. I bind that spirit of self-will. I bind it in the name of Jesus. I break its authority and dominion in our lives. I break the curse of it coming down through the bloodline. In Jesus' name, don't tell me what to do. I bind that spirit in Jesus' name. I bind it in the name of Jesus. I bind it in the name of Jesus. I bind it in Jesus' name. Witchcraft, rebellion, I bind you. I break the curse of it coming down through the bloodline in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, that clever spirit that Ada spoke of, that clever spirit that's working, manipulating behind the scenes, working the details out, setting things up, causing things to go her way. In Jesus' name, I bind you. I bind you in the name of Jesus. I bind you in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name, I break the authority and dominion of perversion. I break it off of us in the name of Jesus. You spirit of frowardness, you spirit of frowardness, scoliosis coming from perversion, I bind you in the name of Jesus. Come out of our backs. Come out of our backs in the name of Jesus. Loose our backs and let them go in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. I come against the spirit of deafness coming from stubbornness. I bind it in the name of Jesus. Refusing to hearken to our parents. Stubbornness and rebellion. The mother and the father, they said, our son, he is stubborn, he is rebellious, he will not hearken to what we are telling him. He's a glutton and a drunkard, and he was put to death. I break the spirit of death that's associated with all stubbornness and rebellion and with gluttony and drunkenness. I break the curse of death that comes with those sins. I break it off of us today in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. But I also come against that spirit of deafness, refusing to hearken. Those of us who have refused to listen to our parents, who have thought we knew more than what our parents knew. I'll do it my way. I'll do it my way. I bind that spirit of deafness that has come to us because, you know, ultimately it's hindering us from hearing the voice of God. In Jesus' name, I bind that spirit of deafness that has come from refusal to hearken to what our parents told us to do. In Jesus' name, our parents told us to do things because they loved us. And we refuse to listen because of our stubbornness and because of our rebellion. And I break the curse of deafness that comes with that. In Jesus' name, command it to come off of us. Come off of me in the name of Jesus. Come off of me that would be hindering me from hearing the voice of God because of my rebellion and my refusal to hearken to my mother and my father and their instruction. In Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. I bind all the mannish spirits. All the mannish spirits that have come in because of Jezebel. I bind the mannish spirits that have come into these ladies because of Jezebel. Somebody had to do it. I bind that spirit in Jesus' name. I bind it. It's out of God's order. It's inordinate. It's unnatural. And I bind it. I command it to be broken off of us in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name. Jesus. Lord, forgive us. Forgive us, Lord. Forgive us, Lord. Let your blood come down and cleanse us. Forgive us, Jesus. Lord, forgive me for taking, usurping authority in areas where I had no business doing it. Forgive me for taking yokes on me that were not my yokes to take. Forgive me, Lord. Cleanse me, Lord. Deliver me, Lord Jesus. Deliver me, Jesus. Oh, rabakasanda labakori andalabai. Oh, riasita labakosoto labakandalabai. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Cleanse us, Lord. Cleanse us, Lord. Cleanse us, Jesus. Thank you for your blood. Fill us, Lord. Fill us, Lord, with your Holy Spirit, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Lord, I pray for these young girls in here, the children, Lord. God, as you're doing a work in the parents this week, let their spirits, Lord, let their spirits receive what you have for them, Lord Jesus. Do a work in their lives this week, Lord Jesus. I know there's nothing going on for the young people, but Lord, you're going on for them. You're on their side. Just as Linda read that scripture in Jeremiah, Lord Jesus. I can't remember what it was, but it's for the little ones. Before I formed you, I knew you. Is that what it was? Read it. I would like you to read it. I want the young girls. Well, there's only beautiful young girls.
It says, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee, and before thou camest out of the womb, I sanctified thee. It goes on to say, I ordained thee a prophet. That's not necessarily to all of us. But that other part, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. Before thou camest out of the womb, I sanctified thee.
That's for... Did you get that, Gabby?
Okay, all right.
That's right. That's right. That's exactly right. That's right. That's right. You know, I shared that with my youngest sister after you had shared that a long time ago with me, because when my mom conceived my youngest sister, she had been on... The doctors had said she couldn't conceive because of things that her body was going through at the time. And... You know, jokingly, they always referred to Susan as the accident. And I told her a few years ago, I said, you know, you weren't an accident. God ordained your birth. And it's so true. There are no accidents in God. Amen. I don't have anything else. So praise the Lord. We thank the Lord for His presence, for His... Praise God! We've had a breakthrough.
Deliverance
has come.
I just want to say what I said before, and that's if you you heard what I said, that most of the time when God has set me free from things, I've been by myself. You don't have to have somebody laying hands on you. They're not your deliverers. We're not your deliverers. I know I'm not. Patty's prayer is not your deliverer. No matter how good... Doc was not our deliverer. You know, Jesus... It's... You know, and so I would encourage all of you. I would encourage all of you to focus on Jesus. Know that you know that you know that He'll be the one that sets you free. And He'll do it all by yourself. He may not necessarily, but He can, and He did for me time and time and time again. I would have rather had somebody lay hands on me and cast the devil out of me and me walk out of here free. I would have liked that. But I had to do battle. I have had to do battle myself. And then I had to keep remembering what God said to me. He'd not spoken a lot of things to me in my life. But what He's spoken to me, I know. I know He ordained my birth. I know I wasn't an accident. You know, I know He loves me. I came a long way to that. Because I had a lot of people that didn't. And, you know, rejection draws rejection, so you get a lot of opportunities to think you're not loved. But Jesus loves us, and He wants us free. He wants us free, and we can pray for ourselves. We can pray for ourselves. And I would encourage all of you to just, instead of
really, really insistent on having somebody lay hands, just try it. Pray for yourself. Let, you know, trust God to just set you free himself. He'll do it.
You know, you didn't come here for naught. You didn't not waste your time coming, because God has a plan. He has a purpose for you. And he could very well do everything that you want him to do this week. But what Linda is saying is we all, when this is over with, we're all taking us back to where we came from. We still have us. Now, whatever he sets you, me, all of us free from this week, it's our responsibility to stay free in that measure of freedom. Now, where the enemy comes is coming back with some of the same yakety yak yak yak. Now, there may still be some things that you need to be free from in that area, but when you know you're free in that area, stay free. Stay free, stay free. And I'm not talking about the maxi pads. I'm talking about stay free. Even if it's just something small. I'm going to give you an example, okay? I don't win every time, all right? I've lost, okay? I've messed up. Last camp meeting, and this is why I'm using this as an example. It's not about me. It's just an example of how God can just set you free a little bit. I have battled for all of my life with weight and eating, and you know, I mean, the notebook pages just go on and on and on and on and on, you know. And I know what the Bible says, but it's a battle. It's a battle. And I don't have the victory yet. But last camp meeting, we were sitting, we had a break, and we were sitting back there, and Tom was doing deliverance. It was an evening service, and Tom was doing deliverance, and he was just, you know, Tom just shoots rabbits. I mean, the Holy Spirit just moves through him, and he just prays, and I'm telling you, just enter in, because he's anointed to minister deliverance, all right? Well, he came against the spirit of the hog that eats trash. And I'm telling you what, I started, ugh, it was nasty. And LaRonda was sitting there, Linda was sitting there, and I had more than one paper towel full. And I'm not proud of that, but I'm just telling you, it was a real deliverance, and I thank God for it. And it got me to thinking, and I haven't arrived, but I've been making better choices. When I think of hog, trash, you know, scavenger, yuck. And I have been off and on, you know, all my life. Not as a kid, because my dad, they just never did buy it. But, you know, soda. You know, I've just been a chronic soda drinker. I mean, I have. Diet Coke, you know, Diet Dr. Pepper, Diet 7-Up, whatever, you know. And ever since last camp meeting, there's been one soda. Kevin and I went to Subway one day, and I think we split a soda. And that's the only one I've had. And see, God, and why I'm saying that is, whatever measure of deliverance that you get this week, and you know that God has done something in your life, hang on to it. Don't give the enemy back that territory. You may want more. Well, keep going. Keep pressing in. Keep pressing in. Because he wants to trust us with what he's doing, for crying out loud. You know, we're his kingdom of priests. We're his presence on this earth. He needs to be able to trust us. And so we have to be trustworthy. We trust him, but we need to be trustworthy. And so we need to be faithful to what he does in our lives and hang on to it. And so that's all. I'm done. That's all I have to say. Praise the Lord.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.freeaudio.com. LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.